It's time for Dishing Up Nutrition with licensed nutritionist Darlene Kvist. Each week, Darlene explains the connection between what you eat and how you feel. Stay tuned to hear practical, real-life solutions for healthier living through good nutrition. Dishing Up Nutrition is brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last. Just kicking down the cobblestones, looking for fun and feeling groovy.
Well, welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. I'm Darlene Kvist, licensed nutritionist, and I thank each of you for listening today. If you have a child that has ADD, that's attention deficit disorder, or ADHD, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, you'll want to stay tuned because we believe there is a definite nutritional connection to these problems. We know it's not a deficiency in Ritalin, but it is often a deficiency in nutrition. And our co-host is Christina Swigert. Christina is a licensed nutritionist, a mother of two young children, and she works with a lot of our families to improve their nutrition. Hi, Christina.
Hello, Dar. I do work a lot with families and have seen a lot of kids, too, with ADD and ADHD. And you know what? I see that a lot of families are now really starting to get it and making that connection between certain foods such as sugar, sodas, red licorice, and seeing that they can really make their child more active. And they're really beginning to realize the food connection to their child's behavior and, you know, really wanting to help in planning out their meals and snacks that are going to be more safe for their child to eat so they behave better.
It's interesting, Christina, you said red licorice.
Yes.
Yeah. Interesting, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So we know that millions of children in the U.S. are diagnosed with attention deficit disorder. You know, in fact, 4 million to be exact.
It's a lot.
It's a lot.
And half of those, 2 million children, are being treated with a stimulant drug like Ritalin. And, you know, the use of medication to treat children between the ages of 5 to 14 with attention deficit disorder has increased by 170% in the past 15 years.
170%. Amazing, isn't it?
It is. It's huge.
So we have to take a step back and say, why are we having so many problems with attention deficit issues or behavior issues? You know, could there be a nutritional connection? And of course, as nutritionists, we believe there is a connection. For many children, attention and behavior problems can be the result of excess sugar, food chemicals, and sometimes even food sensitivities.
Yes, and if you're a parent with a child taking a stimulant drug, are you concerned about side effects? And you know, the American Heart Association now is starting to bring up some side effect issues, and they are recommending that all children taking stimulant drugs have a heart screening.
Isn't that interesting?
Very interesting, because these medications can increase blood pressure and heart rate. And, you know, I believe more and more parents are really rethinking the use of Ritalin and are looking for more natural recommendations. And a lot of times that's the first thing they tell me when they sit down. It's like, we just want another option.
You know, I think, and you probably have heard this a lot of times, Christina, too, that parents are really concerned about the side effects of these stimulant drugs. You know, they're concerned their child's not eating suddenly.
Mm-hmm, that's a big one.
Yeah, and they're having headaches, they have skin rashes, they have sleep problems.
Yes.
Is really a problem.
Yeah.
Digestive problems, and they just generally feel more nervous. So because of the side effects of these stimulant medications, I find that more and more parents are seeking out more natural methods of managing, that's a lot of M's in that word,
yes.
Attention deficit disorders. I mean, they're really looking for more natural methods.
They are. But sometimes still, some of these same parents are a little fearful that the natural methods, such as changing the child's diets, won't be effective. So to prove that they are, we brought a guest to the show today, Stephanie Schmidt, and she is a parent of a son with attention deficit disorder who has had great success in helping her son manage his attention and behavior issues through his diet.
So welcome, Stephanie, to the show. And hey, tell us a little bit about what you went through and where you got to this point.
Thank you for having me on the show. Well, life has been very challenging since our son was born 8 years ago. He was a fussy, active baby. In fact, he used to stand on my hip. He'd reach in, he'd grab my bra strap, and he would jump. He'd jump on me all day long when I held that kid. He'd suck his thumb with one hand, and he'd grab it with the other.
So how old was he about that then?
You know, until he was too big to carry. Boy, I bet I carried him that way from the time he was a baby until he was probably two, and I said enough is enough. He was such a big guy. But anyway, he was just always fussy and active, and that pattern has remained pretty constant until this past year. He could be the poster child for ADHD, the hyper-impulsive kind. He couldn't stay still, let alone stay seated for more than a few minutes at a time. He constantly interrupted, and he didn't stay on task. He rarely made eye contact with anyone. He was often easily irritated and anxious. Life was full of lots of stress for him, our family, teachers, and really anyone around him. He required lots of supervision and patience.
You know, Stephanie, as you're talking about all these symptoms that he had, I bet there's parents that are listening today that are saying, oh, I can relate to that. Oh, I can relate to that. Oh, I can relate to that.
Yeah. I'm sure there are a lot of people out there, and that's why I'm so happy to come on and talk about it with people, because there's hope. There's hope that there's a better way. But anyway, it really impacted our whole family, as I'm sure those people can relate with me, because it's not just our child, our one child, that it impacted, but it's everybody. It drove our daughter nutso, because she had to have different behavior expectations.
Right. Yeah, I can understand that.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's the way it was.
Right. And I'm sure, I know, being a parent, I treasure my times away with just my husband and I, but I'm sure that was probably difficult for you, too, just to take time alone with your spouse.
Yes, it really was. It was very limiting for us. It was really hard to find and keep qualified babysitters. They came once, but not so much after that. It was hard to go anywhere because it was really hard to handle him other places. We had created sort of a safe zone in our house and knew how to handle him there. But the more people he got around and the more freedom he had and on situations we weren't familiar with, it was tougher. So we didn't want to go as many places as we certainly could have. Last fall is when things came to a head. He started second grade and the situation really escalated. He developed a nervous tic. He had physical pains in his leg and his stomach, and he became very weepy. Really, the saddest part was watching him try to make and maintain friends, and he just wasn't having a lot of success.
You know, I've talked to a lot of parents experiencing these very same issues and not knowing what to do. You know, they feel kind of guilty. They're feeling bad for their child, but also frustrated with the behavior and the struggle. And I bet, Stephanie, at times that you were really frustrated, too.
Yeah, I could have used some counseling. It was getting pretty close. But, you know, like other mothers, everybody knows moms press on. So I pressed on. By that time, I had already tried a psychiatrist, his pediatrician, the special ed department at his school, and had read dozens of books. All these sources helped, but really we needed more because we were still having so many frustrations. I knew we could get a prescription, but I was reluctant to start that. I wanted to leave that as a last resort. So I happened to stumble across a book that had a lot of information about food allergies, intolerances, and sensitivities being a factor in ADHD-like symptoms. So I was curious. At the time, I was an avid listener to the programs.
Well, that's very good.
Yeah. So I decided to meet with Dar to talk about how nutrition might be a part of our situation. I wondered, and I really hoped, that actually he had food allergies rather than a neurological problem.
So, because that's something you could do something with, wasn't it?
It was. It just was an easier solution. I guess I didn't want him to be the ADHD kid. I would have been much, much happier just saying, oh, he's just allergic to red food dye or something.
Right, sure. Exactly.
Still a lot easier.
Yeah. So what were some of the first things that you guys did to really start to help him and make some changes?
Well, it was a year ago. So I did an initial consultation at Nutritional Weight and Wellness on his behalf last fall. I went. I didn't bring him with because he never would have made it. But I went and I had a long conversation with Dar, and really things are so much better now. I'm such a believer that actually I even work for Nutritional Weight and Wellness now, and I'm so happy to be here to share my story. With the help of Dar, we made several changes in our family's diet plan.
I think that's a good point because, you know, I think later on maybe people that are listening, they're going to want to listen and talk to you more personally. So where are you working for us now?
I am in the Wyzetta office during the day while he's at school. I work Mondays and Wednesdays.
So if you got, you know, if later on, if you have questions for Stephanie, you'd be happy to share.
Absolutely. Okay. I would. I'm there Mondays and Wednesdays from 9 a.m. until about 2 or so.
Okay.
Great.
And if you are working during that time, just send me an email at Minnetonka, which is MTKA at weightandwellness.com. And you can email me and we'll make arrangements to chat when it's convenient for you.
Oh, perfect. Sounds great. So after you met with Star, I'm sure you went home and started to make some changes.
We did.
What did those look like?
Well, first of all, we had to stabilize his blood sugar levels. One of his complaints was always, I'm never full, Mom. I'm still hungry. And moms know, boy, it is so frustrating. Constantly cleaning and feeding, you know, clean the kitchen, feed the boy. Clean the kitchen, feed. I mean, it was just on and on, and he was just still hungry. It was just really frustrating. Really, his appetite rivaled Michael Phelps, which was no surprise since he's so busy.
So is he a swimmer?
Yeah. I tried to get him to do that because I thought it'd just be a great way to divert his energy.
Well, Michael has some ADD, you know.
You know, yeah. I did. I saw that, and I brought it up to my son again, and he said, no, I'm not just swimming back and forth in a pool. But I tried, and I'll keep trying. So anyway, he was just so busy, and he's so tall, so it didn't surprise me we couldn't fill him up. But actually, at that time, I have to confess, his favorite snack was a whole box of Wheat Thins and an apple. So really, I was feeding the poor little guy carbs and more carbs.
A whole box of Wheat Thins.
Yes, I know, you're my boss now, I confess.
So 6 Wheat Thins, that's about a teaspoon of sugar. So that's about 48 teaspoons of sugar that he was taking in just the Wheat Thins, not the apple.
I know. It's embarrassing, but I've confessed and I feel better now. Yeah, now I feed him meals and snacks that include healthy fats, protein, and low glycemic carbohydrates. So a typical snack now is his favorite food, the apple, but now he dips slices of it in almond or peanut butter, and he has a few slices of lunch meat with it. I also feed him larger portions. I just didn't realize how much my little guy really needed to eat at one seating. So he eats adult-sized portions, and that's working out much better. I also worked it out with his teachers that they sent him out in the hall to eat a quick snack if they sense he can't wait till lunch, and that was great. I was really happy to see how his teachers were willing to work with me, because really, sending the kid out into the hall for 2 minutes is much better than dealing with disruptions in the classroom.
Yeah, right. And because it's just a blood sugar problem.
It is.
And you can correct it so easily. So you are listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness, a company specializing in therapeutic nutrition. You know, according to a report released by the University of Michigan Children's Hospital, childhood obesity is now the number one health concern for children in 2008. Even higher than smoking and drug abuse. Child obesity can and will affect a child's psychological and physical health for the rest of their life. Just think about that a minute. So we'll be back shortly.
FM 107.1.
Sugar, sugar. What is your favorite sweet indulgence? Brownies? Pastries? Cookies? Frappuccinos? Anything chocolate? We all enjoy a treat, but if you treat every day like Halloween, perhaps it's time to rein in that sweet tooth. Research shows that cravings have biochemical origins. That's right, they're not just sugar lust. The solution? Get to the source. Luckily, we don't have to do this alone. The friendly staff at Nutritional Weight and Wellness has worked with hundreds of people who wanted to break their sugar habits, eat healthier, and feel better. Sugar saps your energy, weakens your immune system, and is highly addictive. We have all seen how sugar affects children, but adults get hooked just as easily. Others rely on artificial sweeteners that are full of chemicals, believing those substitutes are healthier than sugar. Before you refill that candy dish, pick up the phone and find out how Nutritional Weight and Wellness can help you eliminate your sugar cravings. Imagine eating in a way that leaves you satisfied, gives you more energy, and a trimmer waistline. Office is conveniently located in St. Paul, Wayzata, and White Bear Lake.
I don't want another pretty face. I don't want just anyone to hold. I don't want my love to go to waste. I want you and your beautiful soul.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. You know, if you are concerned about your own weight or your child's weight, we are offering 2 classes in our Wayzata office this fall. On Thursday, September 11th, we'll be teaching Foods to Build Happy Focus Kids, which will expand and go beyond what we're talking about today. And it's for all kids, not just those with ADHD. There's a lot of great information in that class. And also on Friday, September 12th, we will be teaching Jumpstart Your Metabolism. and that is from 10 to noon. And these classes only cost $25, so it's a great deal. You come away with a lot of information, and to sign up or learn more about the classes and counseling, give our office a call even today at 651-699-3438, or you can always visit our website at weightandwellness.com.
And, you know, before we went on break, we were talking about sugar and stabilizing blood sugar and feeding the kid a little bit more food and all those things.
Right. And blood sugar is really something that parents need to look at first. And for a lot of kids, and even if they don't have ADD and just have some behavioral issues or anger, irritability, especially after school, blood sugar is often the culprit. And a high intake of refined sugar is going to trigger episodes of low blood sugar. And we talk about this a lot on Dishing Up Nutrition. Low brain blood sugar leads to irritability, lack of focus, and acting out behavior.
And, you know, put it in just basic language. You know, I'm noticing that my grandchildren are always happier, more agreeable. They have longer attention spans. They're better listeners when I feed them every 2 hours. You know, it is just amazing the power of those snacks.
Yeah, and I think if parents can think about it, how they feel, if they let their blood sugar get low, it's the same thing happens in our kids.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and feeding my son and myself frequently is a must. When he acts up now, I give him a snack and he calms down and we can sort it out. I'm working on him to get understand that association so he can start being more proactive for himself and figure it out.
And I bet, Stephanie, you know, he's eight and a half. And
yeah.
I bet he's going to make that connection pretty soon.
He is, because when he calms down, I say, now, are you hungry? Do you think that's what that was all really about, that it's not a big thing as you thought it was? And he agrees, so he'll get there. And actually, the same really goes for me, too, because when I lose it with him, I can make the association that I need to fill up my patience tank. So food
that's
really
interesting. Filling up your patience.
That's a good way to put it.
We all need to do that, us moms. You know, there's certainly people taking things out of our patience tanks. So we got to fill ourselves back up.
And that's going back to stabilizing your blood sugar.
It is.
That's a really cute.
It is.
Yeah,
I can relate, especially on days you're out running errands and it's been a couple hours since breakfast. If you didn't bring a snack.
Yeah, we're trying to cram that last errand before they get back from school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or when I've got them with me, that's when the patient team runs all the way. And my kids are good kids.
Yes,
so,
they are.
I mean, it can happen to all of us. So, you know, and there's another reason to keep your child's blood sugar stable. When the blood sugar is low in the brain and nerve cells, they are going to become much more susceptible to damage from toxic exposure. And this is something that does get talked about a little bit more with ADD. You know, many toxic chemicals, especially MSG, have the ability to overexcite the brain when the blood sugar is low.
So where do we get MSG?
Packaged foods.
Okay, there
almost
you go.
All of them.
Okay.
Anything that has seasonings in it, you know, or a lot of canned soup type things, seasoning packets. I mean, they're in a lot of things.
Yeah.
Even a lot of times I'm surprised. Crackers, you know, the flavored ones.
Yes.
A lot of times have MSG in them. Like the ones, the ranch or things like that.
Okay.
So...
It's all over, isn't it?
Yeah. And, you know, high sugar intake actually disables the brain's protective mechanisms against these chemicals and food additives. So I recommend frequent meals, no chemicals, for parents really to be adamant about that. And especially not having things like those chicken nuggets or frozen potato, you know, all those different things. And chicken nuggets have like 40 different artificial ingredients in them. And there's not much real chicken in there.
But 500 calories in six of them. I mean, 40, unbelievable, isn't it?
And they're not too difficult to make yourself.
Real ones.
Yeah.
Without all the chemicals.
Right.
Yeah, I know it. It's amazing. So, Stephanie, what else did we do?
Yeah, well, besides the stabilizing his blood sugar, we put him on a gluten-free, casein-free diet.
Wow, what does that mean?
Yeah, well, unfortunately, we did some testing through EnteroLab.com, and the results indicated that he is sensitive to gluten and casein. So gluten is in most foods in the bread and grains group, and casein is the protein that's found in dairy products. So this was overwhelming at first, but you know, really, now I don't even think about it.
Yeah, it's a workable solution, isn't it? Because... he feels better.
He feels better. Yeah. It's just great that he feels better and he's doing so much better in school. And it's just such a welcome relief.
So, you know, as parents, food allergies and sensitivities are often the root or, you know, people have these and they mistake them and they think their kid has ADHD, but actually they had sensitivities. And, you know, you can have allergy to eggs, milk, soy, wheat, peanuts, tree nuts. I mean, that's about 90% of all the food allergies. And for adults like myself, I happen to have a shellfish allergy. And I know what happens when I have some shrimp. It's not nice. But as children, the number one food sensitivity we see in children with ADD is, you know, a sensitivity to gluten, basically.
Yeah, and like Stephanie said, again, gluten, it's a protein, and it's found in many grains, and that would include grains like wheat, rye, barley, and oats. And really, they feel at least 30% of our population has a gluten sensitivity, and a lot of people believe even more than that do.
So you have really made a lot of changes this past year. And now, was your 8-year-old just right on board, or was he just saying, no, I'm not going to do that?
You know, surprisingly, he was on board. I think he's had so many friends that had peanut sensitivities where they abstain from anything that could be anywhere near a peanut or be a peanut. So he was actually scared more than anything. So he
jumped on.
He jumped on board full force right in the beginning. And now this summer, he's had some slip-ups. He was in some camp programs where he snuck some things that they offered that looked awfully tasty. So he's had some slip-ups, but again, I'm working with him to understand the association between his behavior and what he's eating. So I think that we'll come through it just fine. It's the big picture that we're looking for.
Yes, yes. So I think we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness. You know, I want to share some interesting research that was reported in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition in 1995. They found that boys with attention deficit disorder had significantly lower levels of essential fatty acids. You know, those are things like omega-3s, DHA, omega-6s, GLA, and even arachidonic acid. And these were all lower in children with hyperactive disorders. That's kind of interesting, isn't it? They've actually studied the brain and the blood of these children. So if you have questions today, 651-641-1071.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. I am Christina Swigert, licensed nutritionist, and I am here today with Darlene Kavis, licensed nutritionist, and special guest Stephanie Schmidt, who is using nutrition to manage her son's ADHD symptoms. You know, as nutritionists, we understand the need for essential fatty acids. The brain's solid matter is 60 to 70% fat, and most of that fat is an omega-3 fat called DHA, and actually that's found in breast milk. The concentration of DHA in breast milk varies depending on the mother's diet. So we recommend for pregnant women and nursing women to be supplementing actually with a DHA through pregnancy and through breastfeeding.
And that's just actually an omega-3 fatty acid, isn't
yep.
it? That's all it is.
Yep.
So, you know, we have lots of callers on the line, so I think we're going to pop over here. Hi, Lance. Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. You have a question for us today?
I do. I got three of you there, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got all the
okay.
people here.
I'm having a problem. I cannot keep solid foods down.
Okay.
And I've lost 45 pounds.
That's...
And I've been drinking, like, Ensure, I can keep liquids down.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what's going on, and the doctors can't figure it out either, and I just throw up everything.
Well, one of the things, when you look at Ensure, the first ingredient, I believe, is sugar or
yeah,
high
yep,
fructose.
Yeah, I know, yep.
So it's not a very healthy product.
But I can
sure.
keep it down, and it's giving me something, right?
Well, my guess is either you've been on some type of medication or something that has depleted your intestinal tract of good bacteria, of the good bifidobacteria that we have in our small intestinal tract.
Okay, but I can keep down sour cream and yogurt.
Okay. Well, I mean, you know, you get in good organic yogurt, full fat, you actually get bifidobacteria. So maybe you start using more yogurt through the day and less Ensure, or you take a supplement with bifidobacteria in it and
what
heal
kind
your
of supplement.
It's called bifidobacteria, and it either comes in a powder or it comes in a capsule. And I would recommend that you do it in a powder, and you just mix it in a little bit of water and drink it several
okay,
times a day.
Where do I get that?
We have it at our office, and you know, not a lot of places know about bifidobacteria. They know about acidophilus, but that's not really what you want. You really want bifidobacteria.
Okay, can you spell that for me?
B-I-F-I-D-O, okay. And then just bacteria. Mm-hmm. So what part of town do you live in?
Well, I'm 2 blocks from Maplewood.
Okay. Well, you know, we have an office in White Bear Lake, and so that would probably be the closest one for you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you go there, you know, anybody there will help you and kind of talk you through it. So, good idea?
Okay, I don't know if I can ask this over the air or not, but, do you take Medicare?
You know what? Medicare does not pay for nutritional counseling.
It doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
That's kind of sad, isn't it?
It is. It is. It's very interesting, isn't it? So,
well,
that we have to have a change in this world.
yeah, I agree with you there.
Well, thanks for the call. And, you know, go up to White Bear and talk to the ladies. And I think, you know, Cheryl or Wendy or Christina actually works up there a couple of days. Or Christina,
Wednesdays.
So that would be a good day. You could visit with Christina for a few minutes and maybe she could help you out.
Well, you sound like great people and I appreciate you.
Okay, thank you very much.
So, another one?
Yep, let's go to... Hi, Carrie. Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. You have a question?
Yeah. My son is 14 and a half, and he doesn't really exhibit signs of ADD or ADHD specifically, so I haven't really thought that that was an issue for him. But especially in the last couple of years, he's had some tough things go on his life on a personal level, things with his dad and various other things like that. But he, you know, it's kind of tough to know if he's been struggling in school, and now with this first week of school, you know, he's exhibiting similar signs, doesn't seem to want to get his homework done, wants to play his video games more than focus on school, rushes through things. And I'm kind of wondering, as I've been listening to your talk on sugar and blood sugars, if maybe I should be limiting that with him. And then I get confused about, like, breakfast. I make sure he eats a breakfast in the morning, but it's usually cereal.
See, and that's probably where you need to change right there.
Pardon me?
You have to change that breakfast right away because cereal just turns into sugar in the body.
And then, like, you mentioned apples, and I thought, oh, boy, I try to put an apple in him. And so now I'm kind of going, I'm wondering.
Well, I think it's like an apple is great, but it needs some fat to balance it out. And then you actually need a little bit of protein for his brain to function better. But if you go back to breakfast,
Well,
he needs some eggs or some pieces of meat or something that's real food. And then he's going to function so much better in school for the whole day. You know, that cereal, all it does is it gives you a blood sugar rush and then it drops down about 10 o'clock and nothing goes on after that. And kids walk around in a fog for the rest of the day because what do they get at lunchtime? More sugar. Unless you're sending them lunch. But what's, you know, I had an interesting client yesterday. She says there's two lines at school. There's the real food and then there's the junk food line. And everybody is lined up at the junk food line.
Right.
And that's what happens unless you're really instructing kids so that they are eating the right things.
Well, and it's tough to know how much of his moods and downswings are because of personal issues.
You know what? You have to support the brain chemistry first.
Absolutely.
And once you get the brain chemistry supported, it's amazing how much stress people can go through without it really bothering them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Stephanie, you even know that for yourself.
Yeah.
If your blood sugar is down, your son stresses you, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does quite a bit more.
Yeah.
And much more patient.
That's true for everybody. So I would say... go ahead.
You mentioned these upcoming classes in Wayzata, and when were they again?
We've got the kids one coming up on Thursday, September 11th, and that's in the evening.
During the day.
During the day.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Friday, September 12th, is Jumpstart Your Metabolism.
But the kids' class starts at 9:30 and goes to 11:30 on what day again?
Thursday, September 11th.
Yeah. Take that class. That's a great class.
And actually, there's other ones at night, too. If you look out on the calendar on our website, there's several different times during the fall that it's offered. Most of the other times are during the evenings and weekends.
Okay, excellent. Thank you very much.
We appreciate the call because I think a lot of parents are facing the same thing right now with their kids. And it's like you get up and you make a decent breakfast for that kid, and then they're off and they're going to have a good day all the time when they're in school. So we're going to take one more caller here. And hi, Tina. Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. A question? Good morning.
I should say good afternoon. I have a question regarding my 15-month-old son.
Mm-hmm.
I nursed him for the first 6 months of his life. He had normal baby. Ever since I weaned him off, and he did try milk-based formula as well as soy-based formula, he suffers from severe constipation. And when I mean severe, he will not go for days, and it gets to a point where we have to give him enemas. And the doctors have taken blood tests. They have taken an ultrasound of his abdomen to make sure there's not a twist. They're saying it's not an allergy or a gluten allergy to certain things, but they can't figure it out. And he sobs uncontrollably sometimes.
Well, right.
I
know we
45 minutes.
I mean, first of all, I know we could figure it out.
Right. I mean, the first thing I would do is start giving him some bifidobacteria.
Okay.
Because he was probably getting some of that in your breast milk, and once you took them off, formulas don't have that. So, and that's so important to help break down and digest the food and move it through. And that's something you can get, you know, as we were talking about, in a powder. You can mix it in with some water, or even if you just won't do that, you could put in a little bit of food, but ideally in water on an empty stomach. And I would do that, like, pinches to eighth, quarter of a teaspoon multiple times throughout the day.
Okay, because they have him on 2 tablespoons working up to a half a cup of Miralax
And
that's so much for a baby.
It is.
You know, I honestly, with all the problems he has, I'd make a consultation with one of us.
Yeah.
And
okay.
I mean, we can really help him, and then you could get done with that problem. He obviously has some kind of food, I would guess, some type of food sensitivity.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just like you have to deal with it now and get over this problem, because he can't be on Miralax like that. That doesn't make any sense. But, you know, that's those kind of things that we work with all every day with kids. So.
Okay. And then I'm located in Prior Lake. Where would be the closest?
Probably Wayzata or
St. Paul,
either one. You know, and the one nice thing is we have Saturday consultations at the St. Paul location. But we also have some later evening consultations at Wayzata, too. So either place, or maybe you're free during the day, and that would be great. But whatever works for you.
Yeah. Okay, I will definitely bring him in, because I just, I can't take, I mean, for 7 months, we've been watching him scream and hold.
No.
And you can just come by. He wouldn't have to come either. You can just come yourself. So it's 2 hours.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much for your help.
You're welcome.
All right. Thank you. So we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness, a company specializing in life-changing nutrition education. Now that the kids are back in school and the fair is over, this is a great time to take the Weight and Wellness series. And when we come back from break, Christina will share dates and times of all these classes. And again, if you have questions today, 651-641-1071.
All right, well, welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. Everyone at Nutritional Weight and Wellness is very excited this fall, because we have 12 different weight and wellness series starting the week of September 15th.
And yes, we are excited.
Yes. We have classes all over the place. St. Paul, Burnsville, Maple Grove, Eden Prairie, Wayzata, White Bear Lake, and Woodbury. And, you know, these are truly life-changing classes, and we know that you will feel better at the end of the 6 weeks. And fall is a great time to start eating better and feeling better. Be your best for the upcoming holidays. And we have both evening classes and daytime classes at many convenient locations for people.
So we are really talking a lot about ADD and ADHD and how nutrition has really helped. And Stephanie, you guys, in the past year, you've made a lot of changes. And so what's been the results?
You know, I recently bought one of those T-shirts that says "Life is good" on the front, and that pretty much sums it up for us.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I couldn't buy one of those before, but I was excited I could do it now. So when I compare life today with a life a year ago, I realize how far we've come. The body aches and pains went away right after we removed gluten and casein from his diet.
Just think about this. an 8-year-old, well, 7-year-old at that time, mm-hmm. he was having body aches.
Yeah, it was pretty sad. He would lay on the ground and he would cry and cry about his legs and his stomach aches, and he had a hard time in class because the teacher wanted him to sit crisscross and his legs hurt so bad he couldn't do it. So there was a power struggle there. And
that's a gluten sensitivity.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, the next thing we noticed really was that his teachers started commenting to me that his eye contact improved, which was great because I hadn't told all his teachers what we were doing, so that was really just great to hear about it. And his end of the year report card was shocking, but in a good way.
Nice.
It was so nice. It was just such a refreshing change. So it wasn't perfect, but it was significantly better. And he started getting invited to birthday parties, and he's got some friends now.
Oh,
and
that is great,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, in fact, yeah, today he's going. So, and we let him play outside now without supervision for periods of time, and he's less impulsive, less anxious, and he's just in a better mood. My husband's even trying to convince us that we can go on a family vacation for spring break.
So it has just been great, hasn't it?
Yeah, it really, it's been just fantastic. So I just love telling people our story because I hope it helps other people too.
Yeah. That's amazing, I think.
Yeah, I do too.
You know, sometimes people say, oh, we get in different situations. How do we handle different situations? So are there some tricks that you've come up with to help when maybe you're out and about or...
Yeah, for example, today he's got a birthday party at one of those bowling alley places. So I know what they're going to serve him there. So what we do is we feed him a huge meal before he goes so he isn't so hungry when he goes, and hopefully he won't eat so much.
So you know what? That is actually a trick that we all do, isn't it? Because if we have to go to a party, we know that there's going to be a lot of junk food or stuff that we wouldn't eat. We eat before we go.
Yeah. Right. And really, he's so excited to be there and running around with his friends that I think he probably doesn't eat a lot. So I just try to minimize the damage. And I also send along a gluten-free brownie, which is not a great snack, but it's a lot better than what he would eat there. And he loves these brownies. We actually ate the brownies before we even knew he was needed to be gluten-free. So they're great tasting brownies. I send him a nice big one, and he is thrilled that he has his brownies. So... It's a nice substitute for the junk there.
Right.
So, you know, when you think about changing your diet, you know, such as not going to fast food places and, you know, just really cooking. And Stephanie, has it really paid off? I mean, you know, what is the payoff really that keeps you motivated to keep cooking? And I think that's what mothers are always wondering.
I know, you know, and I had to, I made a trade-off. So really before, I spent a lot of time supervising him, dealing with the fallout of his behavior problems, conferences, teacher calls, all of that, and just really worrying about him. It was just really time-consuming, and it wasn't working for us. Now what I do is I use some of that time to do additional grocery shopping and cooking, and I use the rest of that time for things like giving our daughter her fair share of my time.
And I bet she's a little happy about that.
She is. She really just did not get, she got a little neglected for those years. So she's much happier to have some more of my time. So I made a trade-off. I traded all of that reactive dealing with problem time for some proactive cooking time. And that's okay. I just cook and I listen to some radio shows and some TV and I make it fun. So,
you know, and I think that is, you know, I'm trying to do... have Stephanie talk more about this today to really see that it is possible to use nutrition to change behavior, isn't it? And it really is possible. And it isn't as overwhelming as a lot of people will think. And it isn't as fearful as a lot of people would think. Did you ever go into this being fearful that it would not work?
I wasn't fearful that it wouldn't work, but I felt overwhelmed when I heard that we had to go casein and gluten-free. Because I had to really think about, you know, I guess I just went a little overboard with that. I was trying to get every milligram of gluten out of his diet, which is really tough. People would be shocked to learn all of the foods and things that have gluten in it. So we are right now taking a, you know, 80-20%. We look for the significant few items, and I don't at this time worry so much about every teeny little sauce or every seasoning that we use. I'm really working hard on the major foods. So the breads, the grains, the cereals, the crackers, all that junk, we don't do a lot of that.
Yeah, okay.
So
we have to take another break. You're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition. As nutritionists specializing in therapeutic nutrition, We understand that food is often the solution to many childhood problems. You know, whether it's asthma, obesity, depression, attention deficit, diabetes, arthritis. As parents and grandparents, I believe we must support our children through correct nutrition. And even as a nation, we need to make a change. We need to eat real food, real protein, real carbohydrates, and real fats to keep our kids healthy. We'll be back in a minute.
And I think you're so mean. I think we should try. I think I can eat.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. You know, if parents have questions for Stephanie, next week she will be at our Wayzata office on Monday and Wednesday. So please feel free to call her at 952-345-0766. Or like she said earlier, you can email her at our Minnetonka email, which is mtka@weightandwellness.com. And I know she'll be thrilled to answer any of your questions.
So I know, Stephanie, a lot of great things have happened to your son over the past year with the change in diet. And has other things happened in your family?
Yeah, it has been such a welcome change rather than a burden. Yes, we learned that my husband also had these food sensitivities, and his health has significantly improved. His cholesterol is down over 100 points, and that was in the first 3 months.
Wow.
Yeah, that's amazing because he is a guy that had such cholesterol problems. He saw a lipid specialist, and he's 40.
Yes.
So since he was in his 20s, he's had cholesterol problems, and this was the first thing that has worked for him. So he is really on board with it now.
And, you know, we really hope that more and more families will find that it works for them, too. And, you know, as we look around, we can see a whole generation of children on diets of preservatives and additives really since birth. And if you look at something as simple as chocolate milk, and Dar and I were talking about this.
Oh, yes.
My daughter's in kindergarten, her granddaughter's. You know, there are 8 teaspoons of sugar in chocolate milk, and they sweeten it with high fructose corn syrup.
Isn't that outrageous?
It is, and I wish it wasn't an option, but it is. And, you know, why is this a choice rather than good old-fashioned whole milk with 4% fat, which is going to support these kids' brain development and functioning? And they don't even offer whole milk. It's 2% maybe they do.
I know, and isn't it, it's unbelievable, isn't it, Christina?
Yeah.
That they don't have whole milk, but they allow high fructose corn syrup.
Yeah, but they're told to stop the whole milk at 2, so that's why.
It is just amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, there are so many examples of how parents are trying to do the right thing. But, you know, they could do so much better if they only knew what was the right thing. You know, for an example, take a look at vitamins that they are giving their children. You know, many multivitamins for children, such as Flintstones, are full of brain toxins. Now, that may be a new thought for people. You know, there's a red number 40, and there's often artificial sweeteners in these Flintstones.
Mm-hmm.
You know, children's brains are much too sensitive for these kinds of multivitamins. You know, we have a multivitamin at our office, and I think it's probably one of the best ones out on the market. It's called Springboard Super Newts by Orthomolecular, and it tastes good. You feed your kids this, don't you?
Mm-hmm. I use that and another one very similar. And a lot of people take them. They're, I think, one of the best quality kids' multis out there.
Mm-hmm.
So
and then you're avoiding all the chemicals and all the...
And they ask for them every morning. Like, the morning starts with some fruit and the vitamin right after bed. So,
yep.
Stephanie, are there any other things that you have made that have really helped your son's behavior?
You know, we did. We also increased his intake of omega fats. He was reluctant to try the fish oil supplements, so I feed him lots of fish, flaxseed flakes, organic eggs, and organic meat. So he's getting them. He just doesn't know it.
You know, I think a lot of kids, though, I mean, you know, a lot of kids will just take a fish oil, you know, and those things are pretty big, aren't they? And they'll just kind of pop them, and I bet your kids do that, right?
My son will do, like, straight cod liver oil. My daughter, it's a little bit more difficult, but... We've had to work on a lot of more pickier things, but he loves it. He wants more than a teaspoon.
Yeah. And so. You know, maybe my son will get there.
Yeah,
it's just
the process.
It is. I'll just keep trying. But anyway, for now, we just do lots of fish.
But then that's a great way to do it. You do a lot of fish. You get it in that way.
As much from food as ideal as you can.
You know, the other thing that we do is he started taking a little 5-HTP, and his moods are better. So that's the other thing that we're doing so far.
So we keep investigating a little bit more and making his life better. And, you know, food can either be the problem, or we hope that it's going to be the solution. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Stephanie. Thank you, Christina.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.